It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hi, queer dope souls. We're glad to be back this morning. Wait, do we even need to talk about this morning?
No, so. But that's okay.
Anyway, one of the cool things is we're using new mics today, so we're really excited to try out this new equipment.
Yes, hopefully it sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
We've been getting a lot of feedback about audio, and that was our own feedback too initially. And hopefully there's a big difference.
Yeah, this journey has taught us so many things. So like things we had no idea we were gonna learn, like, you know, how to tweak sound and how to record and how to edit stuff. But I'm so glad to be on this journey with Jenny.
Not just learning about the queer community and that, but we're learning about podcasting.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Anyway, Jenny, quick one. What was your joy this past week?
I had a really big joy. Burning Man was my joy. I don't know how to describe it to someone who hasn't gone. I've tried so many times, but I think you won't, or I can't give it justice unless you're there and experience it. But I will say that in the most grueling weather conditions, I think it was the most rewarding time with friends, not only because we went through that struggle together, but it was so magical how 80,000 people can come together, create a fully functioning city, and embrace art, music, people, community. I think one of the nights I was just talking to a friend and I said, you know, the essence of Burning Man really is to protect art, music, and people.
I like that. I really like that. So. What stood out to you at Burning Man? Or like, what was that moment that, you know, besides you being at Burning Man, what was that moment that like stood out to you and you're like, yes?
To be honest, I have gone 2 years prior. I've gone twice before. So this was my first time or my third time. And the moment where I felt that, because it felt like home when I got there. But the moment where I was like, wow, we're really doing this, was actually the last day, because we were in a whiteout storm, like a whiteout sandstorm.
Wow.
And our structure was falling apart. And
oh my God.
I remember Sonia and I were on, my friend Sonia, and I were on cooking duty. We were just in goggles, all covered up, protecting ourselves from the dust, but we were there cooking kimchi fried rice.
Oh, and wow.
And then Kyle was just holding something to protect the dust from coming in. But I mean, there's a picture of it, and it just looks so wild that we're just cooking in this whiteout sandstorm. But it felt fine. Like, it felt like we were providing for ourselves, because we were all connected with food. We had the best meals on the playa, and it was all made by each other for each other. And I think that photo, I think, is the epitome of what Burning Man is, I think, for me and like for my community.
Right. Are we going to share that photo or not? Instagram page, so listeners can go check it out.
I would love to.
Okay, let's do it so they can have a peek into
what brought
you joy.
And shout out to my friend Jordan, who took that photo. She was taking film photos, and her photos are phenomenal.
Right. So listeners, we're going to post that on our Instagram page so you can check out the moment that brought Jenny a lot of joy this past week.
And what about you, Mary?
What
brought you joy?
So I would probably put this, I'm very thankful for my sister. So because of my sister, over the past 2 weeks, I've been able to go to a couple of museums and a couple of shows, which I would normally not have gone to on my own. we were able to visit the California African American Museum this past week. And I really, really, really enjoyed, there were only two shows open, I think, because they're going through transition and there's some construction going on. So there were two shows instead of usually the five shows that they have to capacity. One of them was an artist from Detroit, very amazing artwork. And the other one was about the Buffalo Soldiers. And the one about the Buffalo Soldiers was really, it really touched my heart in a way that it could only touch you when you've known the history of Black people in the United States of America. There was a particular video that I looked at of soldiers that were Black soldiers, actually, that were taken to Italy during the World War II. And it was so many of them. But sometimes in the movies that we watch, especially movies, you know, about World War II, there's not enough Black representation, but many of these people were fighting for their people back home. So, like, just walking through the museum and looking at all these stories and all these maybe lieutenants or colonels or soldiers, it was just very, it just touched my heart in a very deep way. And I'm just thankful to be able to have that experience to go to a museum. So that was my joy this past week.
Powerful. What was something that you learned going through the museum that maybe you didn't know before?
I didn't know that there were so many Black soldiers. It wasn't, because I don't see it often, like in movies, because I and I'm not saying that movies are a factual representation of life, but media does play a very big role in how we perceive, sometimes how we perceive history or a time era. So I didn't actually really know there was a huge number of Black soldiers even here in California. So that was something that I learned from going through the museum.
That is powerful.
Very powerful. Anyway, so this week, a friend of ours did give us the idea to dive into the history of queer. And I must say, I'm so glad we listened to their feedback.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we've dived deep into the origin of queer. And we're going to share what we've learned with you today. All right, let's go, Jenny.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to our friend Robert, who gave us this topic idea, which, you know, probably should have been like the first or second episode, because our name has the word queer in it. Just to start off.
And for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, now for us, we're sort of using that word proudly. Mm-hmm. It would not be. I don't even know what word to use. It would just not be great if we didn't bring you the history of the word in itself and the reason we're able to use this word and proudly identify with it is because of the history behind the word itself.
And it could be controversy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be controversial because people who grew up years before or in the 80s and before that, the word was used as a derogatory term.
For sure.
And now it's in the mainstream and so many people are using it. I think that's why we really want to dive into the history of it.
Yeah. So this is not my personal work, but I did some reading on the internet and some reading of articles. And the first thing that stood out to me was the Oxford Dictionary actually has an explanation of this word, queer, as we use it today. No, as it was used before. So it says that this noun was first used to mean homosexual by the Marquis of Queensberry in 1894.
Wait, but before that,
oh yeah,
the word queer can be traced back to 1513 to mean peculiar and eccentric. So originally that's what it meant.
It wasn't a slur. It was just, you know, if you were odd or something was strange or something was odd, then you called it queer. But in 1894, there lived a man called John Sholto Douglas, the Marquis of Queensberry. Anyway, he used this in a letter, and I'm going to let Jennifer just tell us a little bit about how it's the first instance of, the first recorded instance of the use of queer as a slur.
I guess we were both reading, because this is all new to us.
Yeah.
We were just reading about that, and we were like, I wonder, you know, why he used it. And I guess he used it in a letter, but when we dove a little deeper, we found out that his son was romantically connected to author Oscar Wilde. And so we're thinking that he probably used it against his son, right, as a homophobic slur. And that was the first recorded usage of queer as a homophobic slur.
And this story even gets more interesting. I urge you to go and do your own research. He had two sons. One was Francis and the other one was Alfred Douglas. And in fact, both, because Francis, the other son, died, you know, the cause of his death is still unknown today, but he did have a romantic affair with Lord Rosebery, and which, you know,
both sons.
It's a very interesting story, because Francis had an affair with Lord Rosebery and died, and so he blamed the death of his son on homosexuality, but the cause is really unknown. And then he knew of his other son's relationship with Oscar Wilde, and so what he did was try and destroy Oscar Wilde, which this is something I had no idea.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's something I had no idea. So when he found out about his son's gay love affair, he made it his mission to take down Wilde. And so he began Wilde's trial for criminal indecency. And he was actually successful.
What?
He was super successful, because Wilde was found guilty of homosexual offenses and sentenced to 2 years of hard labor. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oscar Wilde.
Yeah. And so from then on, from like 1894, it really began to mean homosexual.
Yeah.
But not in a nice way, really, as
very derogatory.
Yeah, and offensive and a slur. And so for a long time, that's what it was. And I think that also came with a lot of hatred, probably a lot of violence that people that were LGBT that time had to navigate.
Yeah.
Very sad, but very true. And anyway, the beauty of life is through language and through culture, words tend to take on a new meaning.
And so, evolution.
Yeah. And as I read deeper, at one point in 1949, the printing of Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary had it as slang for counterfeit money. So here am I thinking, I'm like, from meaning homosexual as a slur to at one point being used as counterfeit money, that just shows how culture shifts every now and then. So, but anyway, it really always remained a derogatory word.
I wonder, I don't know if we have this in our notes, but when did the Q get added onto the LGBTQ or LGBTQIA acronym?
I would think it's recent, probably in the 2000s, in this millennium.
You think?
I would think.
Or do you think it was added after Stonewall and during like the AIDS epidemic, when people were reclaiming the word queer? Because, the Q in the LGBTQIA plus acronym can mean queer or questioning.
Yeah. I would say, to be honest, that's something we also have to dive into. That's definitely homework for us. In my thinking, I would say in the 2000s, because in the 2000s, people had started taking on queer and tagging it in their Twitter profiles and on their Instagram. So that's definitely homework for us to find out when it was added onto, you know, that acronym. And then interesting thing, in 1965, Webster's World Dictionary, College Edition, now lists it for sure in the dictionary as slang for homosexual, but also offensive. That's 1965. And I think I am very thankful to the 60s, because the 60s are a landmark for a lot of freedoms that were fought for people that we enjoy today, because the 60s saw the fight, a lot of colonized African countries fighting their colonizers and fighting for independence. Still in the 60s, I think Black people were fighting for the right to vote. I think women probably were fighting to be able to own bank accounts. I'm not sure, but don't take that as a fact. But I think, and also in the 60s, queer, let me use LGBT people were fighting for their rights. Mm-hmm. And I think we start to see the fight intensify for the LGBT people to start to be recognized, to start to be treated right in the 60s.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
The Stonewall protests and riots.
Yeah. Our forefathers, I like to call them, maybe not our forefathers, but our ancestors or the people that came before us in this walk of life, they really did sacrifice a lot. They navigated a lot of police brutality. They navigated a lot of violence, you know, from people they loved, from their... I mean, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen today, but they did sacrifice a lot for us to be able to enjoy the freedom that we enjoy today. The fact that we have this podcast, mm-hmm, and we're talking about
and our experiences. And talking about this, yeah.
Yeah, it's because of the sacrifices that were made by the people in the 60s.
Yeah. To expand on that, mm-hmm, I think... when the term was being reclaimed, or I think around that time, queer was considered derogatory. But since the 80s, during the AIDS epidemic and the resurgence of the gay rights movement, I think people within the community started to reclaim that word, queer. And I think some attribute the origins of the movement to reclaim queer to Queer Nation. So
yeah, I've actually heard a lot about thank you, Queer Nation. I do not know all the people that were part of Queer Nation, but thank you so much. Because
before we move forward,
yeah,
Queer Nation is an organization combating anti-LGBTQIA plus violence,
right?
And they were founded by members of the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, and their acronym was ACT UP.
So I love that.
That's just a little bit of context for Queer Nation.
I really love that. Actually, just to backtrack a little bit, in the 80s and in the 90s, there was this whole AIDS epidemic that really, I think, affected the LGBT community. And on a wider scale, I would say, maybe on a scale that people saw more than the other communities that existed. And I think the government was a little laxed, mm-hmm, in trying to put measures in place to help people out and to protect people. And so I think part of this fight was fueled by the AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. And also not forgetting the police brutality and the violence that many of our queer people that came before us had to navigate. And for me, it's so interesting that in the Western history, AIDS was really something that was synonymous with the LGBT community. But back home, especially because I'm an 80s baby.
Mm-hmm. Same. And
many of my, I would say like age mates, lost their parents to AIDS. There's a whole generation of parents that died.
Yeah.
A whole generation from the 80s and the 90s from the AIDS epidemic. So for us back home, it wasn't really synonymous with LGBT. It was just a disease that killed off a whole entire generation just because people were having unprotected sex, I would say, with, you know, each other, mm-hmm, people maybe not being faithful to their partner. So it was very interesting for me when I moved to the US. And so like the story of the history, like the story of AIDS, which in this part of the world is very synonymous with LGBT, but in where I come from, it was just a disease. If you are sexually active and you are not safe and not practicing safety, it really killed off a lot of people. But anyway, back to that.
That is interesting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Do you know any history? Like, do you have any history about the AIDS epidemic in Vietnam?
I do not.
Okay, no worries.
That is homework for me.
Yeah, we do have a lot of homework. We have to find out the keyword, and then we have to find out how different parts of the world really experience AIDS. But anyway, back to queer. So we're now in the 90s, right?
Well, okay. One other thing to, mm-hmm, note, the rallying cry during those protests were, we're here, we're queer, get used to it.
Man, I love that these people, thank you so much, Queer Nation. Thank you so much, all these people that did all this work, because I could use that same cry. What did you call it?
Rallying cry.
I would use the same rallying cry today.
Yeah.
Because there's so many parts of the world where I come from, Uganda, there's a lot of homophobia, and I would say that rallying cry would still apply to the LGBTQ cute people that have to navigate a lot of violence and a lot of brutality from others just because of the way they're born. That's powerful.
That is powerful. Super. And I am just learning about that now. So I think diving into the history of this, because I think I would see it, but I didn't know the origins of it. You know?
That's why history is important.
Yeah, it puts so much more meaning to that and the history of it.
I respect history. I do respect history. Anyway, we are in the 90s. So in the 90s, we have Queer Nation. So one of the things that actually Queer Nation had to do was to actually educate people about the origin of the word. And also, it's one of its objectives was to reclaim the word queer. Mm-hmm. And so I think that created a landmark for what the word is today to many of us. Obviously, what the word is today.
Something I read too, something that the group did was they were championing for the adoption of queer as a sly and ironic weapon that we can steal from the homophobe's hands and use against him. That's why they want to reclaim it, to use as a weapon against the homophobes.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's very powerful. It's like you take the power back from your oppressor.
Yes.
I'm respecting these people more.
Me too.
And I'm thankful that they were ahead of us in this fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, we're in the 90s. We've moved away from the 90s. We're going into the 2000s. And I feel like in the 2000s, especially probably from 2010 onwards, queer has really expanded in its meaning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like at this point, it does not have a single meaning except that not heterosexual and not cisgender.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah. In the mainstream now, right? Mm-hmm. Queer, this was something that I read. It said queer defies categorization. I love that. When I read that, I was like, hell yeah.
Mic drop.
Because it's an umbrella term, it just embraces everybody. And another thing that I read was that queerness frees us from adhering to society's standards of acceptability and what society deems as normalcy. So it really, you know, rejects like the binaries and rigid definitions of sexuality and gender.
I like that. It enables us to exist on the spectrum just as it is. Because if you've been doing a lot of research on sexuality and all, you know that it exists on a spectrum and it's going to change throughout life. Your identity also changes. And I like the fact that it helps us defy all these boxes.
Yeah.
And it exists out of the society expectations, because not all of these expectations are actually beneficial, and not all of these binaries are actually helpful for all of us. Some of these binaries are really harmful. I would say an example of something like gender roles. I think gender roles can be harmful, especially for people that identify as female, because there's like this thing where you're groomed. Anyway, I don't even know why I'm going into that. No, I'm not going to go into that. But I like the fact that we can exist outside of society expectations when we use the word queer. It's powerful.
Yeah.
But remember, even if now queer has taken on a new meaning and widely used by people, I do not think everyone is happy and identifies as queer.
Yeah, I think we all have to be mindful, and we have to understand that there are people who still reject that word because it was used as a derogatory term against them, to attack them. And those people who grew up with that and during that time, it can be really hard to reconcile with.
And I understand that. Yeah.
And I think we have to accept all of that.
So
in the mainstream now, how we use it, and then for those who just don't feel comfortable using it.
Yeah, and I would say, as a word of caution, especially to our allies, I think unless you have a certain relationship with queer people, it would just be more of a cushion. Maybe if you don't identify as LGBT, avoid using the word queer to refer to others unless you have a relationship with them, because not everyone is comfortable with that term.
Yeah.
And it's still considered a slur, like Jenny said, by some of the older generation. And I understand that, because living through a time where, because today we can watch Ellen DeGeneres on TV, we can look up all these queer movies on Netflix or Hulu or whatever channel that we're streaming off. We can hold our partner's hands in public. But the people that lived through this time did not enjoy any of those things. They could not publicly love their people. It was just a time that was really hard. Many of them are still in the closet today. They are still in the closet just because of the trauma that they enjoyed from that time. But I'm so glad we can use the word queer. So, Jenny, I have a question for you.
What?
So, what has queer come to mean to you? I know we've done an episode on this, but I think for people that haven't listened to our episodes before, or just to crown it off with just this dive into the history of queer, what has it come to mean to you as a person?
Yeah. I think I really liked what I read about how it frees us from society's standards, and how it really is like an anti-assimilationist term, because I grew up in a Vietnamese household. I feel like I'm so used to assimilating and have been conditioned to assimilate to normalcy, or, you know, I had mentioned this before, but what queer means to me really is freedom. Or liberation, not being stuck in that box, but also not being forever defined as one thing. So I think, yeah, I think that's...
You can see what I'm doing, but I'm...
She's doing silent snaps.
Because everything she's saying is just like, it's just like hitting my heart. And I'm like, this is powerful. Like what queer means to her. It's really powerful how she's come to reclaim it in her own personal life. And that's just beautiful. And I wish some of the people that spearheaded this could see the freedoms that we're enjoying as a result of all the fight that they put up.
And what about you?
For me, queer... It's because it means anything other than straight. So that's really important to me, because I don't belong in the straight definition at all.
Yeah.
So, and I also don't want to box myself into some definition, because I know that my identity could even change after this podcast. Well, no, that's being too dramatic, but I think we are ever evolving, because of either we're trying to unlearn something or we're trying to learn something, and our experiences. And so maybe who I was 2 years ago is not who I am today. And I feel like when I identify with queer, it gives me the liberty to ever evolve. It might be intentional, it might not be intentional, but just the fact that it includes everyone, it includes all kinds of identities, and I'm someone that's unapologetically for inclusion.
Yeah.
And because that word takes on everyone that's not straight and everyone that's not cisgender, then I'm comfortable comfortable using that word. And also something that is really, really dear to me is the fact that we took a word, or maybe our people took a word that was used against us, and they've added a positive spin to it. And I can stand up and proudly say that I'm queer. That's very empowering. And that's what it has come to mean to me.
Not Jenny snaps. You can hear my snaps, I hope.
Jenny's snaps are louder than mine. But yeah, queer is just brilliant. And the fact that we're doing queerly, we're doing life in community, sharing our lives with others who might either be queer or who might be straight, but just want to be part of the community. It's just powerful. And I'm so glad we dived into this episode. And thank you so much, Robert.
I know. Thanks, Rob.
We were able to learn a lot and share what we've learned with the others, and which is bringing me to the most interesting part of the podcast episode, which is Jenny. What's your queerly noted today?
I feel like what we just said was a queerly noted, it right? Was. But yeah, if you have any other words for queerly noted, what would that be?
To be honest, I agree with you. What we just said was really a queerly noted, but I must say this just so that it's under queerly noted. I am thankful. I am in awe of Queer Nation. I am in awe of everyone that participated in the fight during the AIDS epidemic, everyone who participated in the fight to ensure that LGBT people were treated as human. I am thankful for the sacrifices that were made by these people in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, and in the 90s.
And still today,
the reason Jenny and I are able to have a podcast called Queerly is because of the sacrifices, the intentionality behind Queer Nation, that we're able to enjoy this freedom today. And it might not be a freedom that's enjoyed globally, but I'm still thankful.
Yeah,
because a lot of what we are today is because someone ahead of us paved the way for us.
We can still be grateful. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good spot to end.
Yay.
Gratitude for those before us and for those who continue to fight.
100 mic drop. Yeah.
We'll see you. No, wait. I keep saying that.
We can still see you in spirit, but no.
Yeah, we'll see you in spirit. We'll catch y'all next time.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Love you.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you, so please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY.
Love y'all!